Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who has cleansed us from all our sins. Amen. Now, this morning's gospel recounts the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Now, after directing them to go and show themselves to the priests, we read this about one of the 10. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. This morning, we consider this text and the theme, Saved to Praise. And let us pray. O Lord of life and death, we pray that your unbounded word of life would go forth from my lips this day to heal and to save, to cleanse and to restore, that we might join the Samaritan leper in praising you at the feet of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It would be hard to overstate the kind of social and even spiritual alienation that lepers experienced in the ancient world. Excluded from the community, barred from worship in the temple, lepers were forced to live their lives in isolation. Isolation both from God and from their neighbors. And thus, when we encounter them in this morning's gospel, Luke includes the detail that Jesus, when he entered this village, was met by 10 lepers who, quote, stood at a distance. Now, I know this is a bit heavy for an introduction to a sermon, but I think that we need to sit with that detail for just a few minutes. Our text and theme for this morning reflect on what we are saved for, what we are saved to do. We are saved to praise the Lord God. But before we get there, we need to attend to what we are saved from. Right? You see, there is a direct relationship between the two, between our understanding of what our understanding of our plight and our experience of the salvation that Jesus brings us, right? And the plight of the lepers in this morning's gospel, I think, provides a helpful window into our plight as sinners before God. Right? So back to the lepers. Right? Jesus is making his way into this village, and there they are, standing together off in the distance, probably on the outskirts of the village itself. You see, Old Testament law actually stated that lepers had to live apart from the community. Now, we don't really know what leprosy was in the ancient world, but it probably had almost nothing to do with what we now call leprosy, Hansen's disease. So whatever physical symptoms may have characterized it, the main feature, the main characteristic of leprosy in the ancient world was that it was a kind of social disease. Lepers were the ancient untouchables, right? And as such, leprosy functioned as a kind of symbolic representation of the contagious and corrosive effects of human sin, right? Sin also separates from God and from one another as it spreads. As it spreads out from Adam and Eve to the whole human race, generation after generation. So, as we consider those lepers, standing together off in the distance, we're given a picture. We're given a picture of the kind of alienation that sin introduces into our lives. And so, I wonder if any of you have come here this morning feeling the weight of that kind of alienation. of that distance, right? Perhaps you have managed to drag yourself in here, right? And you're here physically, sitting in the pews, but in your heart of hearts, you feel like you still belong out in the parking lot. In your heart of hearts, you feel like you are a million miles away, both from God and from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, sin is like that. It alienates. It excludes. It can hinder us from experiencing the true fellowship with God and with one another that we have in Jesus Christ. We can almost feel as if we've contracted a disease. We can feel as if we are damaged goods, and it's just better if we remain apart, because if people really knew, right? If people really knew what we were like, well, then they wouldn't like us or accept us. And so better just to cut to the chase and exclude ourselves. Now, if you've come here feeling like this, or if this has been your experience in the past, and you know, I trust that all of us, if we have any level of self-awareness, we know this to be the case. I mean, to the degree that we understand the depth of our sin, and not just the sins that we think, say, or do, but the depths of our sinful nature, that sinful nature that causes even St. Paul to cry out in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am," right? The sin that we are in Adam. You know, to the degree that we understand that, you know, we all belong out in the parking lot, right? You know, in Adam, we're not just a million miles away from God and from one another, but rather an infinite gulf has been fixed between us. It's one that can only be overcome by the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I say to all of us this morning, let us attend, right? Let us attend to the cry of these lepers and to our Lord's response to them and to us, right? So what is their cry? What is this cry to which we are attend? Well, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," right? Lord, have mercy, as we've sung this morning. It's found its way into our liturgy, this cry, "Lord, have mercy." Now, note that in this cry, they're not simply crying out for healing. It's not simply, "Lord, heal us." Obviously, they are seeking healing, but a healing that restores them to God and to the community. And this theme comes through loud and clear in our Lord's concluding words to the one leper who turns back, when our Lord says to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well, our Lord says. And that word translated "well" there, it's actually the standard Greek word for salvation. That's how it's usually translated, right? Your faith has saved you, our Lord is saying, right? The faith of this Samaritan leper not only cleansed him of his leprosy, but saved him from sin and death and restored him to God and neighbor, right? So that's where we're headed, but how do we get there? Well, in response to the leper's cries, Jesus directs them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, the priests, of course, are down there in Jerusalem in the temple, but the problem is that lepers aren't allowed to enter the temple, right? They have to live apart. So what is our Lord saying? He's telling them to do something that was impossible for them to do, and yet it is in their going, as they demonstrate some level of faith in the word of the Lord, that Luke tells us, "And as they went, they were cleansed." Turns out that what was impossible for them was very possible with God, right? And now it's just here that the story quite literally takes a turn, right? For Luke tells us that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, right? praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Right? For whatever reason, this Samaritan, this one whom the first century Jews regarded as an outcast, a half-breed, this Samaritan, he alone turned back. Surely the other nine noticed that they too were healed, but only this Samaritan truly sees this and comes to terms with what happened, with who it is who healed him, and what he ought to do in response. And note, though, that this turning to praise, this turning back to give thanks, it's instinctive, right? He doesn't have to be told to do it. It's simply the natural response to the great deliverance that he has experienced. I mean, can you imagine what he must have been thinking and feeling, right? All of that stigma, all of that alienation that he had experienced for who knows how long vanished in an instant. Just like that, he is healed. He is restored. The Lord not only cleanses him, but delivers and restores him. And yet, perhaps there's another reason why he turned back. Remember, he's a Samaritan. And that means he can't follow the Old Testament protocols to go and show himself to the priest in the temple, because Samaritans weren't allowed to do that. But in the end, you see, whether he knows it or not, he actually ends up doing the better thing. For in turning back to praise God at the feet of Jesus, he is presenting himself to the great high priest, who is on his way to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice of his own sinless body on the cross, and his blood that would wash away the sins of the world. In falling down at the feet of Jesus, he's bowing himself in the presence of the true temple, as Jesus himself says, that temple which, being torn down in his death, was to be raised up 3 days later. Right? Now, in doing all of this, in his turning to praise God, his falling at the feet of Jesus to give him thanks, the Samaritan has left us a pattern, right? And indeed, it is a pattern that we follow every week in our gathering together. Each and every week, as the Lord gathers us here around his word and his gifts, we are given the opportunity to see that we too have been healed and to turn back to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. You see, that, my brothers and sisters, is what we are gathered here this morning to do, right? When we gather together and make confession of our sins, as we have done this morning, those sins that threaten to undo us, that threaten to alienate us from God and from one another, leaving us out in the parking lot, as it were, our Lord speaks his word of pardon and deliverance over us, saying, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In speaking those words to us, he is cleansing and restoring us to the righteousness that he bestowed upon us in our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. And what is our response? Our response is praise. Right? Furthermore, in just a moment here, we will be given the opportunity, as we gather around the sacrament of the altar, to fall down at the feet of Jesus and to have that word of promise not only spoken to us, but delivered into our bodies and ultimately our hearts through the forms of bread and wine. My body given for you, my blood shed for you. And again, our response will be praise. Quite literally, we will sing, thank the Lord, and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Right? So you see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our vocation, right? We are saved to praise. And now, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.